The figure Rabbi Nachman of Breslov is a person that we've, I imagine, heard referenced. Some of us have learned his Torah a little bit. And again, for many of us, he represents a certain kind. For many of us, he represents a certain world. His impact is very clear, in particular in certain communities. You find a lot of Rabbi Nachman Torah sometimes by those people that are, on the one hand, outside of the world of Breslov, who are very connected to Torah Sachasidus, but are not formally Hasidim, is where you see a lot of Rabbi Nachman quoted. And this is a time of year when there are elements of Rabbi Nachman's Torah that certainly get referenced. Mishnichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha, as Purim begins, the time of Simcha. And Rabbi Nachman's the one in the Ketubah Maran, in source number one, Mitzvah Gedol, Lios B'Simcha Tamid. Rabbi Nachman is the one who most explicitly highlights a certain kind. Most explicitly highlights a certain kind of joy that a person's always supposed to have. Not only that, Rabbi Nachman Lekuti Moran, I think in Torah Yud, is one of the, has an important contribution in terms of the world of the significance religiously of dance and clapping hands. And as you get into its kufa of mitzvah, of Mishnichnas Adar, Marvin B'Simcha, it is definitely a stretch of time when you have a lot of rikudim that go on, be that during the actual, from Rosh Chodesh all the way, certainly on Purim, with Mesibas and the like, that Rabbi Nachman and some of the ideas which he tries to teach become very, very important. The goal of the discussion today is really to do a couple of things. One is to introduce us to certain ideas, I guess two or so main ideas of Rabbi Nachman, try to explain how they connect maybe specifically to Purim, and to give us a little bit of understanding of Kichlal as some of the contributions of that he makes the world of Jewish thought. We are not going to, I don't know yet whether this is the beginning of a series or it's a one-time share. It's something that we'll as a shear have to vote on a little bit, but let's get going. In general, when you want to assess the impact of a person, so you want to focus, I think, on a couple of different things. Number one, we want to look at the ideas. What are the ideas that Rabbi Nachman teaches us? What are the ideas that he left over in his Sfarim, that he gave over to his Talmidim? What are the unique contributions that he may have made to the world of Jewish thought? Another question which comes up, again, we're talking about impact from Sfarim, is to try to look a little bit at the method that he used to communicate those ideas. You have ideas. It's very important to be happy, or singing and dancing has a certain value. But there are different ways of communicating those ideas. You can communicate those ideas by telling stories. You can communicate those ideas orally by sharing them and not writing them down. You can communicate them through print. But we know that there are different ways of doing that. If you're, let's say, you're reading a philosophical work of Rav Soloveitchik, it's not just that the Rav was sharing certain ideas. It's that the way he was sharing those ideas is through philosophical works. He's writing in a certain kind of style. That's the method that he used to communicate his ideas. The Kuzari, Rav Yehuda HaLevi, chose to communicate his ideas through a dialogue, through a back and forth between a king and a chacham and the kind of discussion they're going to have. You have discussions about how you communicate ideas, the language you're going to write it in. Are you going to write it in English or Hebrew? In the times of many that we've shown him, the Rambam wrote Mor Nevuchim in Arabic. The Kuzari is not written in Hebrew either. And that also says something about the manner which you're going to communicate it, let alone the methodology. We spoke, I think last year, about the B'nai Yisachar. One way of expressing ideas and Torah thoughts is through gematrias and roshei tevos. One way of communicating ideas and thoughts is through drush, taking a pasuk and removing it from pshat. And another way is through lamdas and through halacha. There are many, many ways to express ideas. And in looking at a particular figure, one question is, what are the ideas he's teaching us? And two, what is the method? How is he doing so? I happen to think that when it comes to Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, you find a decent amount of familiarity with the first thing of what are some of the ideas you find in Breslov or Hasidus. His bodedus, simcha, don't ever have yeyush, emunah pshuta, sometimes that many are familiar with. The methodology, how Rabbi Nachman, his method in expressing those ideas happens to be exceptionally, exceptionally complex. What he does, the Kuti Moharan, is not an easy sefer. He's quoting lots of Gemaras. He's explaining a lot of Agadatas. He's going to reference Psukim, again, from all over Tanakh and Gemaras from all over Shas. And he's going to really pull it together in a very innovative way. But many people, when they talk about the world of Breslov, and this leads to a third thing, not the ideas they share and the methodology, but the question of how is Rabbi Nachman used? That's an interesting question sometimes. Sometimes you have figures that taught important ideas, and the question becomes not what did they actually do and what did they say, but how do people interpret what they say? How do people interpret what they do? An example would be taking a person like the Rambam, and you can take Rambams and construct a certain model and a certain hashgafa, and you can ask yourself sometimes, it's so interesting that they're using the Rambam for that particular model. The Rambam himself may have had a very different view. And if you're looking at what the Rambam himself, what pshat in the Rambam really was, so you're going to have you're going to sometimes see a difference between the way that people learn them, the way they're used, and the ideas they actually express. What we're going to try to do is to highlight two main ideas in the thought of Rabbi Nachman. We're not assessing right now his major impact. I want to talk about two ideas. The two ideas that I think are very much tied to Purim. One of them relates to the role of simcha and the lack of and yeyush, when to give up and when to be happy. And the second is going to be the world of emuna pshuta. One of them relates to Purim as far as the mishnah. Other marim b'simcha, you may mishnah b'simcha. The emuna pshuta relates to Purim as far as the ad lo yada and the value of knowledge, and sometimes the value of not knowing. Sometimes the value of not knowing. There's a lot. We're not talking about Rabbi Nachman on Purim as far as his Torah is on Purim. We're talking about his ideas that I think relate to Purim. Let's talk about Simcha a little bit. Rabbi Nachman writes that the mitzvah of Liyot Simcha Tamid was Gaber Laharchik Ha'atzvas Bamar Shchora Bechol Kocha. This is where you get interesting. When you have someone tell you that it's important to always be happy, so sometimes you hear it, and when you're in a very good mood, that's very nice to hear. But that is a model of a mitzvah gdol, lios besimcha, tamid, is something which, number one, is exceptionally challenging, and two, it appears unrealistic. That it's nice if the only thing that you're thinking about is some breslov or dancing on top of a van. But if you're talking about really living a life with a sense of simcha, so it becomes very complicated. And this is where sometimes it's always interesting to me that the first part of the mitzvah besimcha tamid is a line which everyone knows. The continuation is where you, I think, get some insight into Rabbi Nachman, which is Ulizgaber Laharche Ka'atzvas Vamar Shchor Bechol Kocha. That requires a lot of work. It requires a lot of work. It requires an attempt at overcoming a certain kind of sadness, a certain kind of depression. He says, all so much tragedy, so much sickness comes to this world, Kulam Ba'an Rak Mi Kilkol HaSimcha, from a lack of authentic joy. And the question becomes, so how does a person do that? Has a person experienced a certain kind of joy? In particular, because Rabbi Nachman, this is an interesting idea, it's one of the reasons why I think his Torah is so important. Chassidim, I think, sometimes say that there were three different Sfarim I referenced earlier this year. The Sefer Noam Elimelech was a Sefer set aside for Tzadikim, talks a lot about the role of a Tzadik. The Tanya is a Sefer written for Beinonim. He opens up with a discussion of the Beinoni. He's very clear, it's who he's writing for. Rabbi Nachman, people say, it's Sifron Shel Rishayim. It's a safer for those that are not necessarily where a person would want to be. It doesn't mean it's, I don't mean that in a cynical way, I mean that in a real way. One thing that was very beautiful about his Torah is that his Torah is very real. And he's talking to a world where people also struggle. And there's some Sfarim that you could learn, and everything is always wonderful, and everyone's always going to be great. And there are some Sfarim that talk about the experience of challenge. We spoke last year in this year with the Putner about Rav Putner and Rabbi Nachman on religious struggles. I think there's a lot of important ideas there. But there's that detracts in a certain sense from a certain kind of simcha. From a certain kind of simcha. And the question becomes, so what does a person do to be able to experience that? It's like mitzvah nichas adar, marim b'simcha, and I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. And you're wondering, so what do I do to be able to get it? So I want to try to share with you maybe three or four ideas from his writings that I think are important. And they're important because he's not delusional and doesn't believe we live in a world where it's easy to always be besimcha. So let's share a little bit. Number two, source number two there is a comment from Rabbi Nachman Kuti Maran. I find this idea to be very, very important because the more you talk to people, the more you will experience those who I think really live with this challenge. Zek klal gadol b'avos Hashem, shel yosem leger einav kim osu hayom, Sometimes there are people who make mistakes as Rabbi Nachman. They think too much in advance. Part of being Breslov is, you know, get rid of those long-term plans. Get rid of those long-term plans. It's a very now-focused kind of an experience. I don't think a person, it would be healthier, or we would want to be too much into this, especially with Esek HaParnasav, am I going to have food for today or not? But Rabbi Nachman writes that when a person is, if we think too long-term, sometimes we can be very, very overwhelmed. Very overwhelmed. When a person wants to enter the world of Rosh Hashem, it can seem like it's very, very challenging. It's a heavy burden. And I can't carry this. But one of the things which can make a person, can overwhelm a person, make a person a bit depressed sometimes, is the belief that it's just so much. It's just so long. It's years of this and years, and you look at the beginning. We're towards the end of a long stretch of time learning wise. Look at the beginning of a choref smag. Look at it. This is a bunch of months, and there aren't that many vacation days. There aren't that many vacation days, and if you look at it from that lens, it can be overwhelming. It can help a person become a little bit depressed. Rabbi Nachman teaching us the first step is just focus on the now. Focus on today and do today well. Focus on today and do today well. You're positioning yourself a little bit better. The second thing which Rabbi Nachman does in a very, very famous piece, we'll try to pull together some famous ideas. We're focusing today less on the methodology of Rabbi Nachman, how he does it. That'll be for another time. But maybe if we have one on Purim, even more specifically on Purim, we can try to pull it together. But he writes here a very famous line. Inyan, I think it's a mistake. Hischaskas leval yipol ha'adne bedaito machmas riboy pegamin bakal kum shokilkel. One of the things which sometimes a person is not as happy because we feel less accomplished. We're chazering now, and we speak about sometimes the, you know, mastery breeds motivation, and nothing makes a person feel more successful than feeling like they're accomplishing. And the opposite's true also. If you stop sometimes and you feel like you're not accomplishing that much, so then it becomes very easy to feel down. And one of the things that can do, that can challenge a person, if I feel like I'm not doing as well and I'm struggling a lot, so I can come along and I can say, Anav Amr, Nachman used to teach us an important, famous niggun. A person has to have the capacity to believe that the same koach they had to mess up, that koach is also there to fix. And there's a capacity, there's an ability to get up and to do better. And emuna is very much tied to simcha in the thought of Rabbi Nachman. Emuna is very much tied to simcha and to hope. In the Kutia Lachos, you don't have the sheet. In Archaim, Hilchos Maso Matan, that a person who has a emunah in themselves, that they can do something, they can get out of this, and I have a emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam, then I have hope. Then I have the belief that it can get better. Sometimes when a person's feeling down, they can believe that they're going to stay down forever. So if a person feels like I haven't been as successful, I can believe that that's going to dictate what the rest of my life is going to look like, and that need not be the case at all. The fact that a person can feel very down right now does not mean that tomorrow they can't be doing much better. Doesn't mean that tomorrow things can't be very, very different, and that is something which is important. And he speaks a lot about the opportunity in that fall. The opportunity in that fall. That's a very famous piece in source number 5 here, Gemara Tanya, Torah Yud Beis, that when a person falls, that's often the Pesach, it's the opening to increased growth. That one of the reasons that we get sad sometimes prematurely, and a person who knows that it's all part of a process, a growth-oriented process, so that person can feel much happier. Mashal Mahadavar Doma. You have a guy who's in yeshiva. And he wants to work a lot on reading Gemara better. And he knows if he's realistic, he knows that it's not going to happen tomorrow. And if he really is realistic, he may know it's always going to have ups and downs. That he's going to feel like sometimes he grew a lot, and he's going to read a Gemara, it's going to be very, very smooth. And tomorrow he's going to read a different Gemara, he's going to realize, oh my gosh, it's very, very challenging. And he'll see that I'm much better in Gemara Brachos, and the Maseches Me'ilah is more challenging for me. I'm stuck in the third parak of Maseches Me'ilah, and I'm having a little bit of a hard time. There are different ways, different people can experience those things. When you know it's all part of a process, though, it allows you to constantly experience a degree of simcha. Where when you start feeling bad is when you feel like you're investing and not getting return on your investment. When you feel like you're spending time and you're working hard and you're not seeing the anything come out of that, that's when I can weigh me down a little bit. And in the world of Rabbi Nachman, when you read this, Tachlis Ha'aliyah, that when a person falls, even if they fall very, very far, Ze'ikr Tikuno V'Aliyaso. This is one of the main ways that he can do it. When he turns to Ribbono Shel Olam in those moments of challenge, and when he knows those moments of challenge, if I can get here, I can also get back up. That's something which can provide a certain kind of degree of simcha, which is necessary. So Rabbi Nachman is talking in a world where he's emphasizing simcha, but so much of his writing is referring to people who aren't experiencing that. So much of his writing is trying to tap into the experience of a person that's struggling. Struggling in doubts, struggling in emuna. A person who is struggling as far as their own experience of things. I feel distant, I feel disconnected. And a lot of it is, number one, to focus on the short term. Number two, to know if I fell, I can get back up. And number three, that fall in and of itself is very, very important. For Rabbi Nachman, there's something else which is important. And that is... In the world of Breslov, this is not a chiddush. Look in source number 9. The Kuti Maran Aleph Yates. This is a very famous... I don't know if it's famous. This should be famous if it's not. Kikasha la'olam. Al-mat sarech l'nsoa la'atzadik l'shmoa mipiv. Halo efshar la'ayin b'sfarim divrei musar. Rabbi Nachman said, I have a question. The world asked the question. Why do we need a live Rebbe? I'll learn from Sfarim and that will suffice. Why is it important to have that kind of real interaction? So he's going to speak about it from a Hasidic perspective, even a unique, within Torah Hasidus. The role of the tzaddik by Rabbi Nachman is not as standard. We spoke about this a couple of years ago. We spoke about Uman, going to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, and his thought, why a person would go to Uman and what function that serves. But clearly, the fact that several hundred years after he passes away, you have thousands of people going to Uman to be near, tells us something about at least the way Rabbi Nachman viewed and encouraged others to view him. But what's the goal of having this kind of a relationship with a real tzaddik? To travel to a tzaddik, a very famous idea in Torah Sachasidus. This is different than what you find in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, Chayv Adam, Rekabel Pnei Rabo Beregel, a person to visit their Rebbe on a regel. That may be about Talmud Torah or Kavurah Torah. The notion of going to a tzaddik seems to be something else. So why are you going? Learn from a sefer. Ach be'emes hu to'el es gadol. There's a big difference, as Rabbi Nachman. Yeshkila gadol ben hashomea mi pi hatzadik ha'emes be'atzmo, o ben hashomea pi acher omer b'shmo. You can't compare the experience of actually hearing the Torah from hearing someone else tell it over to you. Mikol sheken kishomea mi pi sheshomea mi pi hashomea. And if you hear from someone who heard from someone who heard it, that's also more distant. Yorid b'chol pam midargo ledargo rachok mipiat tzaddik. It's increasingly distant. V'chein bin hashomea mipiat tzaddik l'ma'ayin b'sefer hu chila gadol b'yoser. And if you're not even hearing it, but you're seeing it in a sefer, that's also more removed. In the beginning of Tanya, he writes about that. The problem of writing it down is that there's less of that kind of interaction. For Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, part of the experience of learning and part of what allows a person to continue to build and grow is their degree of hiskashrus to a tzaddik. Their degree of connection to a live figure, which is the irony of Breslov nowadays in a certain sense, the ability to tap into a live tzaddik, not to experience it secondhand or thirdhand, but get the primary source, not even the primary source as far as the text goes, primary source, hearing it from the person themselves. And when you have that connection, so that is a connection which has the ability. Get back on a little bit. That's a connection which gives us the ability to sometimes get picked up a little bit. That when you have a live connection. We sometimes I'll make it less Breslover for a second. It is very hard to overstate the extent to which live connections and live relationships become valuable for us in our lives, and especially in times of struggle. That a person who's striving for a mitzvah gedola, lios besimcha tamid, for a mishenichnas adar, marbin besimcha, a person who wants to be able to experience that connection with a live figure, a live Rebbe, a Rebbe who's going to check in on them, who's going to maintain a relationship and be there in times of struggle, that is it's a life-changing kind of an experience. It's a kind of an experience I would suggest a person can only know how valuable it is when they have it. absent having it, a person, when there's someone there who's there to pick you up, those kinds of relationships, they are transformative. And that's one of the things which the tzaddik is supposed to do. For Rabbi Nachman, which is this going to be a Breslover idea, the last point, I guess, as far as simcha goes, sometimes you have to fake it. Sometimes you got to fake it. You want to get a little bit happy sometimes, so you know what? It's great. There are times where it's easy and it's wonderful. Mitzvah gedol, liyos b'simcha tamid. And then there are times where I'm struggling and I'm trying to be mechazik myself to get that by intellectually knowing I'm going to get brought up, realize this is part of the process, trying to connect to a figure who can help me get up from that place. But sometimes Rabbi Nachman suggests you got to just fake it. You want to be happy? Act like you're happy. You want to be happy? Sometimes, as far as dance goes, as an example, Rabbi Nachman writes, sometimes dance is a reaction to joy. I'm very happy, so I start dancing. In other pieces, he writes that sometimes dance is what generates joy. Sometimes I get into dancing on Friday night in our yeshiva because I'm very happy and into the davening. So I go and I dance, and that's the manifestation of my simcha. And sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you're not happy. Sometimes you're not connecting that much. And what do you do when you're not connecting that much? So then you get in that circle, and that's going to generate a kind of simcha. That is, I believe, reference in the past. That was a paper I wrote when I was my first semester in NYU. I took a course in the history of psychology. So we had to write, in 1890, William James, the James Lange theory of emotions, was that emotions, we can control to a certain extent our emotions. That if a person says, how you're doing, and you say, I'm very sad, not only is that a reflection of where you're at, but it may cause you to be even sadder. And sometimes if you smile a little bit, even though you're faking it, if you smile a little bit, next thing you know, you're going to be a little bit happier. It has that capacity to switch. Not akadikach in an extreme way. That's not so different from what we learned this year. We spoke about avelos with the Rav in the mitzvah of simcha. That simchas yantif, the Rav suggested, is an external chiyav with an internal kiyam. That I have an external chiyav. My chiyav is in simcha el debastar, in simcha el v'yayin, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim. But the experience that may cause is an experience of joy. Actions, achriya pu'ulos, mitzvah halavavos, that our actions can control a lot. And that's another bit of a move also. You don't always have to, it's like, who here read the book Quest for Authenticity? So sometimes you can have the following reality. I'll describe it for you, and you can, I think it's not a bad raya, but not a bad example. Let's say there are people in this world that are not dancing at all. Well, let's put them to the side for a second, and I'll stand with them on the side. Now, everyone else, exactly, my son is like the furthest thing. We're talking about this? Chaim was like, this whole thing makes no sense. You like walk around and get back to the same place, you know, like, this is the dumbest thing in the world. Then the kasha is, so why is basketball valuable? You put the ball in the hoop and it falls down right away. You know, he'll struggle with that question for a while. But when you, when it comes to dance for a second, so let's say you're there. Tonight, as Hashem, at 10 o'clock, there's some sort of a Rosh Chodesh Masiba type thing with Noam's there with the guitar. I think that's called a Masiba, although maybe it's be called like Sunday night. But as he's there, he's playing, and you have the following question. Do I get into the dancing? Do I not get into the dancing? Now, strip away the cynicism for a second. Look at it away for a second. And we're not a place that's heavy on cynicism, but let's take that away for a second. You answer the following question. Sometimes you have a guy who will say, I don't want to dance because it's fake. It's like a Peshishcha kind of a model for the quest for authenticity people. It's not really where I'm at. I'm not really feeling Simcha of Adar, so who am I? You'll get in the circle. It's not where I'm at. And if I would get in there and I would start smiling and joking around and getting more into the dancing, it would be fake. It's not who I am. And in certain worlds, that's totally true. In the world of Kutsk, they would probably say, totally true. It's sheker to get in there and start dancing. It's not who you are. That's not what you're feeling, so stop smiling. It should all be real. For Rabbi Nachman, the point may be, tzaddik. First of all, even that formulation to you. Tzaddik. Relax a little bit. Just pretend and have a good time. Just pretend and have a good time. And next thing you know what's going to happen? You may actually be happy about Adar. You may actually experience that joy a little bit. That if you always wait for the moment to hit, it may never hit. It's like a guy going out with a girl that's waiting to fall in love with the girl, and suddenly he realizes it may never hit if you don't make a move. if you don't try to deepen that relationship, if you don't even sometimes fake it just a little bit beyond where you are right now, it may never get jump started. And that's something which is important. Number one of the Mishnah, the other Mar B'Simcha, you may Mishnah V'Simcha. So how's the person experience that?
How's my drink? I'll have one. Thanks.
That sometimes it's hard to be able to really experience it, but that's what we strive for. And one thing to do is to be in an environment. That's why if externals can help, being in an environment of simcha helps generate simcha. If you're at a Purim Seuda and it's very joyous, it's exciting, that helps generate simcha. And if you're hanging out with three guys in the corner, the three cynical guys, so here's a shocker, that's not going to ever make you happy. You'll never really do it unless your simcha comes from that deep cynicism. But other than that, it's never really going to be able to experience that. And you're going to be there and you'll be like a little bit sad and depressed sitting on the side. But that's not the way to go. That's one idea, one major thought of Rabbi Nachman. I want to point out one qualification here, because this is where the difference between how Rabbi Nachman has learned and what Rabbi Nachman says. And here is something which I think I've referenced in the past, but I want to try to... I don't know if I'm wrong about this. I wonder if sometimes Rabbi Nachman, some things we're quoting right now, are used as an excuse for mediocrity. If Rabbi Nachman is quoted of never have yeyesh, not never have yeyesh because you should eventually become good again, but never have yeyesh because wherever you are, man, it's awesome. And if it's a way of, and I'll speak about this hopefully more on Shabbos a little bit, it's a way of taking a bidyeved and making it lechatchila. It's a way of justifying falls and making them be the ultimate, the only destination. There's a difference between saying, you fell, don't worry about it, it's part of your growth process, and saying, you fell and givalt, it's all good. It's not all good for Rabbi Nachman. He talks about tshuva. He's into his bodedus, about really pondering where you're at and how you can be better. Rabbi Nachman is not a tzaddik, and I would argue, I don't know of a tzaddik, who is not toveya something, who's not demanding something. He's not saying mitzvah gedola liot v'simcha tamid because, why not? It's a bechol kocho. You have to work at achieving a point of simcha. It's striving for something. It's demanding something. It is not simple simcha. It's hard simcha. Let's shift to another point of Rabbi Nachman. And here's one which is important. In general, from the times of probably Chazal, but certainly from Rishonim, you find enormous debate about the role of philosophy. The Rambam, as an example, is a great philosopher. Not only that, the Rambam views a variety of things as being a variety of ideas in Yadas as promoting the goal and the ideal of philosophical awareness. So Tselem Elokim, what makes you, you, what makes man, man, is our ability to think in an intellectual way. For other Rishonim, the Kuzari, Yehuda Levi, is not a philosopher. He's not a philosopher. When Yehuda Levi talks about God, he is not speaking about it in philosophical terms of metaphysics and philosophy. No. He speaks about experience, historical awareness. Not everyone's a philosopher. Different Mahalchim and Avos Hashem, those who are much more into philosophy, and those that are much less into philosophy. Rabbi Nachman is the one who is often associated, I would argue, with the most anti-philosophy that you will find. Let's go to source number 10, Sichos Haran. Be'in Sifrei HaMechkarim. Mevuretz kvarz linu kamepamim she'asur la'asok bahem. Don't learn words, works of philosophy. V'tzarech leharchik me'od, livli lil modosam, uli lehabe behem klal. Don't look at them at all. Now you could have thought he's talking about Greek philosophers. So he's still not the Rambam, but he's not so extreme. They would say, afilu b'sifrei chakiros shel gedola Yisrael, ki yu iser gadol me'od lil modosam. An amazing line. He's calling them gedola Yisrael. He's noting their works, and he's still calling it Isser Gadol to learn them. Meaning, on the one hand, they are Gadol Yisrael, but Rabbi Nachman saying this is not our Mahalach at all. By our Mahalach, I mean for Breslovers, we have a range of Mahalachim in the room, and that's a wonderful thing. But for Rabbi Nachman, a person should not be learning these. He writes also, Kutim Aran, when a person's holich achar sichlo, when you follow that too much, yuchal lipol betausim uv michsholos rabim, velovo lidei rose gedol hasham vish kilkul harbe, gun harisham hagedolim odom mefor samim. Be careful. Don't invest so much seichel. The greatest faith is the innocent faith of the ordinary man. That is what we are striving. Don't get fancy. In a certain sense, the ideal of a Purim, of an Ad Lo Yada, is not a drinking statement right now. I mean, as far as whatever Chazal we're trying to highlight by that line, whatever a person learns about that is not the forum at all for that discussion. But when the Gemara says, Chayav Mesiv B'Puraya, Ad Lo Yada, bin Araham Levarach Mordechai, is it not interesting that the ultimate level on a Purim is an Ad De Lo Yada? What does it mean? I don't now know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. That makes no sense. It makes no sense because the whole part of the day is Ar Haman Baruch Mordechai. Mordechai won. Haman wanted to kill us. And to not know is very, very strange. In Rabbi Nachman in general, Rav Shigar and his Shiur Mikutim Aran, in the end of the first Torah, there's a nice discussion about this. The point is not to remove all seichel. The point is not to remove all seichel at all. He writes as an example in Reish Nun Hei, Kisha Adam hu ma'amin b'hat tzadik b'li shem das, a person believes in the tzadik with no das at all, efshar lipol mehamuna, ki mehamuna levad efshar lipol. That's very dangerous. You require a combination of Yisko gam das, even gam bahadas, yesh lipol. First has to have a good degree of awareness. He speaks at times about seichel. So when should a person use their mind and when should a person not use their mind? How does it work? How does it not work? So part of it, it's a complex discussion with Rabbi Nachman. Maybe one time we'll speak about it a little bit more. But part of it's as follows. Rabbi Nachman is very nervous of, is a person who relies almost entirely on their seichel. Is a person who relies too much on their own intellect. Why do I believe? I believe because I know how to prove it. If I can share this, someone was at my table once, my Shabbos table, and it got up to Emuna for a second, and the guy even said, listen, the reason why I believe is because, it's a true story even, it's going to sound like, the guy said, the reason why I believe is because I have my own worked out proof, how I know that there's a God, or Dr. Judaism is right, and therefore I'm all good. And I remember at the time thinking to myself, you know, I'm not betting on his long-term, on his long-term religiosity. And unfortunately, I say with a sense of sadness, kachava, the guy's not from. I don't think it's because of that. I do think that part of what Rabbi Nachman was trying to avoid was too much of a reliance on our own knowledge. We live in a world, and this is why his Torah is very helpful for us. We don't talk a lot about questions. We live in a world where it's increasingly clear it's very hard to prove things for sure. It's very hard to know with 100% certainty of anything. It's very, very hard. And one of the things that Rabbi Nachman teaches us is that we don't have to know everything, and our own objective knowledge is not the only thing that matters. And when a person is thinking on a Purim level, a part of the message of Ad Lo Yada, there is enormous greatness in sometimes, again, I'll doubt Jewish, not always knowing. A person knowing how to live with emuna, and I'm part of the system. Could you prove it to me? No, and I'm fine with that if you're a real Breslover. Can you wait? Do you have a good intellectual, could you write a book on like proofs of God's existence? Absolutely not. I know God very, very well, though. I have a very close interaction with him, and I for sure I believe, even though I can't always prove it. It's not about proving it, nor is it about trying to prove it, because even that as a value is not there as much. It's about sometimes being able to say, I don't know, and that's okay also. I know there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's it. But what about this? What about that? Why is it the highest Madrega? We live in a world where knowledge, intellectual knowledge, is supreme. That reigns supreme. And the thought of Rabbi Nachman, not so fast. Not so fast. Sometimes intellectual knowledge is not the ultimate goal, and sometimes a person has to know when to be able to give up. Afilu misha zoch lahamshech. Afil misa zoch lahamshech is a seichel dikdusha tzarich lahamshech and muna l'soch haseichel kein lismoch al seichel ba'atma. Got to be very, very nervous if you rely too much only on your intellect. Too much only on your intellect. And that's part of Menachem in general. He doesn't give up seichel. He's not a fan of drinking. But Derek Kala, he's not a fan of drinking at all because it's giving up too much. It's not about giving up seichel, nor is it, this is important to understand also, it's not easy. Simple and easy are not the same thing. Having simple faith and living with simple faith is not easy. It's not easy at all. He's encouraging a perspective where you're not going to ask as many questions. You're going to learn how to live with doubts. You're going to learn how to live with and increase and get more and more clarity. That is not easy. Simple is not easy. Sometimes we look at a life and it looks like it's much more simplistic and we say, my life is so much harder because I'm struggling. Not always. To achieve that point is something which can be very, very helpful. Let's chazer what we spoke about today. Menachem of Breslov was a very controversial figure. He was a controversial figure in his own life. He's a great grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, a very controversial figure. He was controversial amongst non-Hasidim. He was controversial amongst Hasidim. There were many who did not like some of his ideas, a little bit too wild, a little bit too out there. The Mahalach, there are different discussions in academic sources of what the basis of some of the opposition was, but a lot of opposition to Rabbi Nachman. And his Torah is a Torah, despite passing away a long time ago, and not having a clear dynasty. There was no Breslover Rebbe after Rabbi Nachman. His impact is very much felt. In particular, you find it a lot nowadays from people who are not formerly Hasidim. We're not really Hasidim. Because what he offers is, if I could say like this, a very real and authentic discussion of things, of struggles, of a life which has a lot of lo yada in it. A lot of lo yada, and how to be able to go on with that. And a life where people are not always tzaddikim. You can learn certain Musar Svarim and feel like they're talking to someone else. They're talking to someone who's always perfect. And I'm not that way. And the way they talk about tshuva, when that perfect guy messes up, is so different from where I'm at. And for Benachlin, part of the connection is the way he talks about it. But his Svarim are hard. One of the reasons why they've sort of taken out so many and made them easier by having these like one-liners from Rabbi Nachman. A lot of what he does is to try to prove to you, based on Mekoros, why these things work. Why is dancing and clapping religiously valuable? So he'll speak about it based on Psukim. He'll speak about it based on Mordechai and Esther and why it's called Megillas Esther in light of Esther being connected feet and Mordechai the hands and ideas like that are very far and very out there. But they're real and they're deep and they're challenging. But the process may be very challenging. The ideas can often be very, very comforting and very, very insightful. It's a figure that happens to be in this room, we probably quote more often than in many other rooms in this institution and many institutions. But he's a figure which he's a little bit out there. It doesn't mean that he's not very important, doesn't have what to share. And in the month of Mishnichas Adar, Marim B'Simcha, in the month where we strive for an Ad Lo Yada, so he's a Jew that had those values in a certain sense all year round. Being able to hold up the value of Ad Lo Yada in a meaningful way, of knowing when to say, I don't know, and that's okay, but I believe. And the ability to be able also to experience real authentic simcha in a real way. Not just a Mishnichas Adar, Marim B'Simcha, where you're dancing and it's fake and whatever, but maybe I am dancing and maybe it is fake, but hopefully that will, Be'ezras Hashem, generate a true sense of enormous, real simcha. That is definitely something which is very